Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and somehow credentialed media that cover the Clippers. We bring you Clippers news 5 days a week.
We did it somehow.
Can you believe it? Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Mm-hmm. We're going to kick things off with sort of five realistic things the Clippers can do to improve for the 2021 offseason. And the thing is with this, like, we're not going to be looking at any kind of blockbuster trades or anything like that, obviously. So sorry if you wanted to hear some Jrue Holiday talk. We did talk that on yesterday's episode.
Check it out. Locked On Pels had a good Jrue Holiday episode, too. You should check that out as well.
Oh, absolutely. Spread love on this network. Mm-hmm. Bunch of good folks out there.
Oh, yeah.
And then in our second segment, we're going to kind of talk about sort of the lowered expectations for the Clippers, and if the Clippers need to go back to the shadows?
Thank you, Joseph Ry Award, for that term, but I'm firmly on hashtag back to the shadows for the Clippers.
I love it. And then in shavings, which is just where we kind of open the collective kitchen drawer of the NBA, see what's rattling around in there.
Yeah.
We got some news on everybody's favorite defensive assistant coach slash hunk, Rex Kalamian. And then there's a new prospect that the Clippers have worked out.
Yes.
There's some updates on what's going to be happening with fans. Obviously, the NBA is making a push to have fans there. And then every single Friday, we do a Love, Marry, Quarantine, where we kind of, basically, it's just Chuck and I trying to make each other laugh.
Just goofing off.
Where we rank some hypothetical things that have to do with the Clippers. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to the Updike special, five things the Clippers can do to improve for the 2021 season, five realistic things.
Yes.
Excuse me. I have a list of some unrealistic things that start with, you know, maybe playing football.
The original title of this segment was just five things I hate about the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
But I was scratching so hard on my notebook that I tore through the pages with my pen and had to take a different route.
So what started off? What do we got?
So I think,
and are these ranked in any way, or is this just a list?
This is just a list. Cool. These aren't ranked. This first thing, though, I think is going to take the personnel that we already have and just sort of add another layer to what's there.
Okay.
And that big thing for me is just kind of forcing more turnovers.
Love it.
So you and I talked previously about some of the shortfalls of the Clippers. And, you know, turnovers were kind of a big thing all season long for mm-hmm. the Clippers. You know, we posted just under 15 turnovers a game. You know, we thought we found it. We got to a point where we found it to be pretty successful if they had less than, you know, if they had 14 or 12 to 14 turnovers.
We were probably good.
Yeah. And, you know, certainly some teams do have higher turnover rates than other teams. The Warriors were kind of always that way.
Yeah.
The issue, though, that we talked about before is, like, we just never really forced opponents to turn over the ball that mm-hmm. much. Opponents averaged just 14 turnovers a game against us, which is bottom 10 in the NBA. That means that we're not forcing very many turnovers.
They just shouldn't be, they should be averaging more than us with the pieces we have.
Yeah.
Opponents should be.
And this is one of those things that when I was like looking at our turnovers, I would look at the Lakers and be like, oh, you know, like they're kind of right up there too in terms of turnovers per game. But what they did well is they forced, not every single time was a force, but opponents turned over the ball about 16 times a game against them,
yeah,
which is top five in the NBA.
Damn, okay.
The Bulls, weirdly enough, led the NBA in this stat. Opponents turned over the ball 18 times a game against them. So I will say this.
Do you think
this,
that's just because opponents had the ball so much more against the Bulls?
Probably. But I will say that, like, obviously, you know, looking at that stat, this isn't the be-all, end-all.
For sure.
But what I'm talking about here is we're already a top five defensive team, or at least we were last season.
Yeah.
We held opponents to sub 44% field goal percentage, which was third in the entire league.
Love it.
So this is just one of those things. And, like, we're just talking about two extra turnovers a game here, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the difference.
Some margin type stuff.
That's the difference maker here, man. We're just trying to exploit these little margins. And the thing is we have ball hawks on this team.
Yeah.
There's no reason. There's no reason why we shouldn't be really active in the passing lanes and you know, enforcing this issue. And this thing is dual fold for me, right? Because A, you know, there's no better way to throw off an offense than forcing a bunch of turnovers.
Yeah.
They cannot work. Passing, like, yeah. They, it, like, it cannot work. It gets in their heads. But the other thing is, it just creates so many offensive opportunities. And this is what we saw, something that the Lakers did extremely well all season. They turned that into quick transition points, and they would stomp teams this way. Mm-hmm. And I think
it's demoralizing to give up fast break buckets.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. The, like, if an opponent scores like 20 points off turnovers on you in a game, that's back-breaking.
Yeah.
And the thing is that those sort of transition buckets, those sort of easy kind of buckets, are the kind of things that can mitigate some of the issues at point in my mind.
Good call.
And I guess the question to ask is, you know, we've heard that Ty Lue can be more aggressive with his scheme, certainly in terms of trapping and hedging. But can he instill an offense that, you know, is active in the passing lane and generating steals, forcing turnovers, while still avoiding some of the pitfalls, which would be the fouls?
Yeah, that's a good call. It's going to be interesting to see. I think a fully healthy Pat Bev helps this a
bunch. Definitely.
Maybe some Amir Coffey minutes. That dude is in every passing lane. It felt like every game that Amir Coffey played, he was in a passing lane.
I love it. I mean, Terrence Mann is long. He could get there.
I like that, too. There's a lot of possibilities with this. What else we got on this list?
So another realistic thing, and this to me, I've talked about, if you listen to the show, this to me is the biggest free agent signing facing the Clippers. I think it is the biggest move that is essentially going to be how I'm grading our offseason.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be re-signing Marcus Morris.
Can't argue with it.
The thing is, Morris's value is definitely going up right now. Relatively weak free agent class. And, you know, he had a really pretty solid postseason.
The note in here says his value is skyrocketing. So maybe it's a little more dire than you're willing the listeners to believe.
So Bleacher Report, shout out Bleacher Report, Andy Bailey wrote a article about some of the top five kind of 3-and-D free agents of the offseason.
Yeah.
They had him ranked 5 behind Jeremy Grant, Otto Porter Jr., Gordon Hayward, and Brandon Ingram, which I think is downright disrespectful.
I'd put him ahead of Otto Porter Jr. and Gordon Hayward.
And Brandon Ingram,
excuse me.
Ingram, I mean, I just think that Morris is a way better defender. I wouldn't necessarily count Brandon Ingram as a 3-and-D guy, which he does state in the article, so that's fair. Jeremy Grant, better defender, younger. You have to give the offensive advantage, though, to Marcus Morris. It's,
for sure. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, it's just his game is just so much more developed.
Yeah.
So, and why is he so important? You know, a lot of people tend to focus on the offense of Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Which was there in the bubble.
It's great. I mean, he's a solid shooter. He was so adaptable in both roles that he played this year, both for the Knicks and then later for the Clippers. Like, complete 180s in terms
true,
of
totally
usage.
Totally different, yeah.
And he bought in. But the thing is, what a lot of people neglect is that the team posted a defensive rating of 104, which is in the 94th percentile in the NBA with Morris on the floor. And that is better than lineups that just featured Paul George and Kawhi.
Oh, wow.
So he's making the team better on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
He is 31 years old.
For sure.
But
you look at our window, I'm fine with that.
It's right there. I think you sign him to a 4-year deal. There's no way you don't get at least 2 good seasons.
And with his salary thing, I believe in everything you just said. And with his salary, depending on what we sign him at, he's a movable piece.
Oh, easy.
After those 2 years for filler or something like that, if things go bad. But no, I really like that. I think re-signing, I think Morris and Jermichael are the top two assets, but Morris makes the team, Jermichael's very good for this team, but Morris makes this team better than Jermichael does. Not saying they have to choose.
The ceiling is higher.
Yeah,
for sure.
Way
Morris,
higher, for
definitely.
Sure.
And then the other thing, we got to save some money on a backup center. It's time to part ways with Trez. Look, you and I have been going back and forth on this throughout this offseason.
Yes.
It was really easy to come to the conclusion post the playoffs that, hey, man, this isn't going to freaking work.
Maybe
with
even
this
during
guy.
The playoffs.
Yes, during the playoffs. But, you know, there are some X factors with the Trez thing. Like, obviously, he had a significant loss personally during the bubble. I it's hard for me to believe that he was ever quite at the level of conditioning or comfortability playing that he would have wanted to be.
Yeah.
That being said, we just can't afford him. You have to think about this team. I mean, we have to re-sign two huge players in one more season. So we just don't have the money to get into. I think it's going to be difficult. It would be difficult to get into if Trez is in the $12 million range.
Even just 12.
I freaking think so.
I freaking think so.
I think so. But, you know, so here's the thing. The issue with the Trez thing, right, is you do need to find a way to make up that 19-7-2 that Trez contributed.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's a couple of targets that I'm really interested in. First on the list, this one is the biggest reach. And I did call this segment 5 realistic things the Clippers need to do to improve in 2020 to 2021. But we haven't talked enough about this guy. He's a possible addition. That's Hassan Whiteside.
To be fair, pretty good reasons we didn't talk a lot about him, I think. There's effort questions. There's buying in questions with Hassan has kind of followed him his whole career.
As a starting center, yes.
Fair.
As a backup guy who gives you 15 minutes a night?
But will they be if they're consistently productive, I'm down. But if it's that thing of like, oh, what Hassan are we getting tonight?
Definitely. I think he would have a lot of fun on this team.
Yeah, I mean, for a team
it's a more
locker room, because for a team with locker room questions.
I mean, I think that he, like, getting traded had to have been a learning and growing experience for him.
Yeah.
The other thing, man,
contract
is like,
too.
Dude, the Heat culture thing is great. It's not for everyone.
For sure.
And I think sometimes you get the perception of player that they're terrible. And granted, Hassan has not wanted to work on certain parts of his game.
Yeah.
He's definitely wanted to post up a lot more than is necessary.
Or shoot sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, he does have issues, definitely. But we're looking for a backup 5 here.
Yeah.
The guy posted 16-14-1. He had an offensive rating of 125, defensive rating of a buck 07.
Okay.
If you could get him in that 12, maybe 15 range, which I think it's going to be really low. I don't know if we're going to be able to get him for that. But if you could get him to buy in for that, I think that would be the best available option. Once again, with this being realistic things the Clippers can do, this one is very much teetering on the edge.
This is borderline right here.
This is very
this
borderline.
Is, yeah.
Couple other realistic guys who got on the board. Jahlil Okafor.
His name's been floating around on Twitter a little bit, too, for some Clippers fans.
Definitely. I mean, super athletic still. Young dude. He has had some injury troubles, but once again, we're assuming that he's not going to be thrust into the exact role that Trez was in. He's not going to bear those sort of minutes. He posted 8-4-1, offensive rating 117, defensive rating 112. Not a bad player there, you know. Nerlens Noel is the guy that I'm like.
That's the hottest name on Clippers Twitter, it feels like, right now.
The realistic backup center that I'm the most Nerlens excited Noel. About is Nerlens. He posted 7-5-1. Offensive rating of an unreal 127 and a defensive rating of
7-5-1.
Yeah, and a defensive rating of 102. Now, granted, these are, you know, he was a backup 5 and a true backup 5, not a Montrezl Harrell backup 5.
Yeah.
So these are, you know, these numbers are a little bloated, but I think, you know, that's 7-5-1. I mean, that's money. That's no problem.
Yeah.
He would have to step up the rebounding more than that, but the defense is a huge step up, and he's still got the athleticism. Like, he can finish.
Loves hot dogs.
He loves hot dogs. I think he could work into a 2-man game with Lou Will pretty easily. And then as an honorable mention, I think that this one is a little controversial, but Tristan Thompson's also available.
Oof.
Last season, posted figures of 12-10-2.
Yeah.
He had the first negative net rating since his rookie season, but he was playing for a Cavs team that was
bad
and trying to lose.
That's fair.
So that's a little bit difficult. Okay. He does have the familiarity with Ty Lue, obviously.
Yeah.
He is coming off of a big deal. I don't think there's going to be a lot of offers for his services. Once again, he is on the smaller side. I think he's like 6'10". He's in that range.
Yeah.
So still not a super traditional center, but he has been used like one and has successfully been used like one before.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So I think offensively, obviously, a step down, but defensively, if he can buy in, if he comes in good shape, I think he could be an upgrade. And
has a ring.
And he's a better rebounder.
Yeah, for sure.
So what else we got in these? I've been talking to these folks.
This is an
off.
Easy episode for me.
What else we got in these 5 realistic things?
So it's very funny you put this after before this one, which is remain stable roster-wise when possible/feasible, is one of mine.
Definitely.
I don't want any midseason trades, if possible.
If we can avoid it.
I want to keep the cohesiveness and more team bonding stuff. Let's do more than one dinner before the season like Doc did and like really get these guys bought in from top to bottom.
Yeah, maybe join a bowling league.
Join a bowling league!
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, I want to see more just stability. And definitely. I know part of that too comes from injury stuff and things like that. I want there to be maybe better plans in place when certain people are out. We have the same lineup each time that person's out or something like that.
If possible.
If possible. So that's a big one.
I love that too because it's a 72-game season. We know that coming in this
time.
It's
going to be weird.
There's not going to be – there can't be a bunch of mucking around.
No, can't be any mucking around.
Oh, one side note too. If the Clippers team did start a bowling league, could any Clipper beat Mookie Betts?
Literally, absolutely not. He was a professional, but I think he has 5 perfect games. The fifth one is keep their GD heads down and just do the work, which we're going to talk about more in our next segment called Do the Clippers Need to Go Back to the Shadows? But first, we have to give about a shout out to Built Go. It's a protein gel that makes you the best you at whatever you choose to do. You can break through your wall, whether it's mental or physical. You get that 2 p.m., you know, kind of like I'm sleepy thing. Just chug one of these collagen protein Built Goes. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, gets into your system quickly, plus it's very easy on your stomach if you have an upset tummy. Built Goes loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. You get a kick of caffeine. You got B6, B12. The collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so it makes you look a little better, which is kind of nice. We got some special offers for you right now. There's 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. I like the chocolate mint one. A little boring, but it tastes good. If you visit Built Go and use promo code LOCKED, you'll get 30% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go!
Okay, so we're back with segment 2, and we're talking if the Clippers need to go back to the shadows to find success.
So Zach Lowe posted his NBA preview. Mm-hmm. Great article. Very good. Very long. He described it as He described it as a mega NBA preview. The Clippers are named exactly one time.
Okay.
In a small, almost half sentence of a what if they traded for Rudy Gobert line with a few other teams.
Oof.
Which, like, obviously it's not going to happen.
Oof.
Very big what ifs. It made me happy that this was the only mention of the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree, man.
I was really happy. It seems like people's hate for the Clippers, which if you're not from California and you hate the Clippers, you got a lot of other stuff going on, it seems like. Like,
yes.
What do you care so much? So it seems like people's hate for the Clippers plus the playoff collapse has us written off in terms of chances and, like, attention. Like, people are like, all right, the Clippers sucked in their minds last year. We don't ever really need to pay attention to this again.
Yeah.
Which I think helps our favor.
I got to agree. I think that lowered expectation is the name of the game for this season,
but
baby.
So that's the thing. Like, the expectations for fans are the same. Like, we still expect to be in the Western Conference Championship.
Definitely.
So for the fans, it's great to have that. But, like, so Joseph Ryan Ward replied to a tweet about this with the hashtag back to the shadows. And it made me realize, like, the Clippers need to do their best to not bring any attention to the team for them to be able to focus on this season.
Well, it goes into what we said in the last thing, too. They just need to, like, keep their heads down and play the game. And the thing is I think that a lot of this stuff was blown out of proportion about the Clippers being arrogant or whatever.
Which is entirely the media's fault.
I think that's all the media stuff. I'm talking more about the stuff, like, we don't need to pile on Dame after a loss in a regular season game in the bubble. You know, like, it's just stuff like that. Like, let's stay off of social media.
Keep the heads down.
Yeah, let's just do the work.
Yes.
And not that we didn't do the work this season. I mean,
we're not discrediting the effort or anything like that at all. This is honestly an outside factor. This isn't anything the Clippers did. Kawhi and PG weren't saying they were champions or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the team itself didn't do, like, team marketing management didn't do any favors. The billboards really backfired on us.
Yes.
And ESPN pundits and a bunch of other pundits were like, oh, you know, they were at the Clippers were at the top of the pick every pretty much week for, like, who's in the power rankings? Like, who's going to win the championship. Here's the Vegas odds on it. Clippers were up there, and while it's not the team's fault, it really adds to the kind of Clippers suck fire.
Yeah,
that is
definitely
engulfing the nation right now.
Definitely, and I mean, there's fatigue for teams like this that you hear about all the time.
And we have a shorter leash for fatigue because everyone just inherently doesn't like the Clippers, so definitely. Our leash for this is a lot shorter.
100%. And then there's all the stuff, like, and when I say put in the work, too, that's, like, the interpersonal stuff, like...
Team bonding.
Let's maybe not, like, lose our heads when there's rumors that there's, like, locker room struggles, because those are the kind of articles that come out about teams that are contenders. And I think...
Yes, very good call.
Like, the more you protest something like that, the more it just feeds into the narrative that it is true.
Yes, very... 100%. When Miriam Swanson has to go like face to face with Pat Bev and is like, I don't work for The Athletic, dude.
Yeah.
like that stuff is just like, yeah, that's something that maybe starts top down. Like the season starting in December pretty quickly. We might have some new additions. This has to kind of start with Ty Lue, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see how he can get this done. But, you know, it just like that back to the shadows thing. I love it. Like, thank you again, Joseph Ryan Ward, for that idea. Because it just like...
I was born in darkness.
Yeah, we got to go back to... I don't know how we do it. So the other part is it's possibly impossible with Kawhi Leonard and PG being on the team. The thing that helps is that Kawhi isn't a big media guy.
Yeah.
That's what helps us. PG just defers, so whatever. That's fine, I guess. And then, you know, we have very vocal role players, which is great. Every team does. But, and, you know, the Clippers are already so tight-lipped with the media, especially. It'll be interesting how we navigate what the press is this year. I guess so more so the back to the shadows means trying to figure out how to navigate what the press for the Clippers is going to be.
Definitely. I agree.
I just, like, I hope, and Ty Lue, I mean, he was a LeBron coach in Cleveland.
Yeah.
When the Browns sucked, so there wasn't a whole lot else going on sports-wise in Cleveland, right? Like, this was the only thing.
Definitely.
So he knows how to handle... I mean, Ty Lue's been under a crazier microscope at points in his career, media-wise, than Doc Rivers ever was.
Yeah.
In terms of on-court basketball stuff.
Definitely.
Off-court basketball stuff, Doc Rivers does a whole hell of a lot.
Elite
as well. But Ty Lue knows how to deal with media stuff. So I'm hoping that, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens.
We got to make ourselves the dark horses, which basically means doing nothing but the play.
100%. Hey, maybe no media availability. No, actually, please don't do that.
Don't do that. Come on now.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. It's such a weird thing to hurdle because the players shouldn't worry about this at all, right? Like, they should only be focusing on basketball. So this is almost a big organizational thing of like, hey, are you all going to do more billboards? What's the messaging going to be for this team?
And, you know, like, that's fine. That's marketing. That's selling a product or whatever. I just don't want the team to be feeding into these sort of narratives.
Not at all. So, yeah, it's a bit of an interesting problem to kind of figure out. But, yeah, let us know if you're on board with hashtag back to the shadows. Shout out Clipset Pod. Shout out Brian Cullen. Shout out Joseph Ryan Ward. Coming up, we're going to be talking a former Clipper coach, as well as a possible new Clipper whose last name might be too memeable for me to want the Clippers to draft.
That's fair. All right, so we're back with some shavings where we just kind of open up the kitchen drawer and see what's shaking around in the NBA.
An old to our old podcast called Shavings. Check it out. Get some good stuff.
Don't
on
check
there.
It out. That's a it's
the Shay Days.
We haven't recorded an episode in over 2 years. So Rex Kalamian. Everybody's favorite assistant coach, right?
Everyone's favorite Armenian assistant coach.
He was hired as an assistant in Sacramento.
Makes sense. It didn't seem like he was going to be part of the Clippers' plans. Kind of surprised he didn't go with Doc. But, you know, it was only 2 years he was with the Clips, so.
Yeah, likes the West Coast.
I wasn't surprised he stayed in California. Nothing but success for Rex.
Yeah.
Hope it goes well up there. Clippers worked out.
Do you think that Rex Kalamian, circle back to the thing. Do you think that Rex Kalamian could elevate the Kings and restore the competitiveness of the Pacific Division?
Look, we have a lot of division pride on this podcast for no reason.
For absolutely no
absolutely
reason.
None. At one point this season, I said that there might be three teams that make the playoffs. Boy, was I wrong. It might be that way next season, but it'd be kind of cool if divisions meant anything in the NBA.
Yeah, they do. And next year there will be three.
Maybe. Never know. The Clippers worked out draft prospect Jay Scrubb on Thursday, which, like, I know this has nothing to do with him playing. The Clippers can't draft a guy with the last name Scrub from a PR perspective.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
He played for Logan, which is a junior college. They are ranked number two in national junior college rankings. He is also the number two player on the top 100 JUCO players rankings. He averages 22-7. He's 6'6 with a 6'9 wingspan, 40-inch vertical. Insane athletic ability.
Okay.
But he apparently, shout out to Clipperholics is also where I saw this. He needs a lot of work on defense. And if you're playing in JUCO and you need work on defense, I don't understand why we're just drafting. Like, there's probably someone with good athletic ability who could be number 57th who maybe didn't play against JUCO players.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I think, though, too, some of that fault has to be put on the system. Like, who knows what the coaching is like defensively.
Which I think is another knock on him, because it's like, so you've been at a JUCO, like, not on him personally, but, like, it's just interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
Like, look, if a guy like Yam Myers there, and we're taking Scrub over Yam, I'm out.
That's fair.
I'm not out. I don't even know what that means. But, like, I know the 57th pick, we've talked about it, is the
50th. Charles will no longer follow the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm not hosting this podcast anymore. I know that 57's a dart throw, but this feels like a dart throw from a little further back than you're usually standing.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, I like the athleticism. I think adding another wing is certainly interesting.
It's insane.
Well, I mean, especially though, like, if that's kind of the way things are shifting in the NBA, like, everyone has a 7-foot wingspan and is, you know, basically just a small forward.
Yeah.
I think that that's interesting to look at. I got to agree with you, though. There have been more interesting prospects that we've looked at than this guy. But once again, I mean, anything is up in the air for the 57th pick. So we have to talk. There was an update about fans at games.
Yeah.
The NBA wants to have suites that will be open to fans. They'll be around 25% to 50% capacity.
It's just
going to
be 50.
It's definitely it has to be based on local regulations, though, is the thing. So that's going to be a hurdle that they are going to have to figure out. I like the note that you put in here. Like, it's interesting that they're going with suites since it's the smallest enclosed area.
Just close
at the arena.
Suite. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, as soon as the NBA is like, oh, we're starting on Christmas, get as many fans here as we can. Their goal is to start with some amount of fans in the season. Courtside fans.
I love the note on courtside.
They're going to be 10 feet apart.
Just gargantuan.
Just hanging out.
Distance away.
How much are those tickets going to be?
I don't know. I would assume that they would skyrocket. Also, I think that that's kind of how it should be anyways. I mean, although I love, as a fan, like, how close you are to the action, it's just a lot safer for players if there's a little bit more space. I thought one thing that was really cool in watching the bubble, especially, was at the baseline, how there weren't fans directly
people
behind the basket.
People could run full speed and, like, run out high speed.
Yeah.
Things. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So that was one of those takeaways for me that was like, yeah, maybe, like, I love the intensity of basketball, and the fan experience is, like, second to none.
Have you ever sat court? I've never sat courtside at a pro game. We've been down low in the press section, but I've never sat, like, courtside.
Yeah, no, I've just lingered.
I've definitely done the, I'm just kind of hanging out, see what's going on. And then the security person's like,
I don't know where my seat is.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I think the last game.
I thought this was the 300 section.
Where am I? all right, we're getting into Love, Mary, Quarantine now. Speaking of socially distanced fan stuff, we're choosing Love, Mary, Quarantine. We do this every week. We choose something to love. We choose something to marry, which is maybe a more very commitment, depending on what your definition of marriage is. Then we choose something to quarantine, which is put it away.
Get it away from me.
Get it away. So these are fun, socially distanced things that should happen at Clippers games.
What do we got?
Right off top, this is a shout out to all the peanut vendors at baseball games. More throwing stuff to people from food vendors.
I love it.
There's a guy at the Kingdome for the Seattle Mariners who had one of the most accurate arms I've ever seen in my life. He'd take like a wrap thing of like hot peanuts or whatever. I mean, I'm talking across full sections. So like right here, and this dude behind the back with the big vendor thing on a dime. I never saw him miss a throw.
How is he getting the money?
That is something I've never understood. I honestly think he would circle back, which from an efficiency standpoint,
definitely circles back.
Not good.
Definitely circles
but
back.
But more, throw me a hot dog. Throw me a beer.
I think throwing a beer is hilarious.
That would be fun. What you put one in here, which is really good too. What's this next option?
Net gun cam. Look, there can't be a kiss cam. There can't be a kiss cam at Clippers games.
Okay, yeah.
There shouldn't be a kiss cam at any game.
It's
ever.
Weird. It's but, weird. Especially one sponsored by hotels.com, which is a whole other thing we'll get
which
into.
Which is funny, but whatever. Anyways, so instead of that, fans could get netted from long range.
Well, Chuck's out there with the net. Not me. I'm not referring to myself in third person. Chuck the Condor.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is me.
I also think you could easily modify the hot dog t-shirt gun to shoot net.
Yeah.
Based on my knowledge of net gun mechanics.
Could you shoot ropes with it?
Yes.
I think so. The hot dog thing, yeah, I like the net gun cam. Fun pranks.
Yeah.
That's a socially distanced thing.
Yeah. Maybe if two people are getting too close, it's like, "Puh, you got hit with the net,
you
dude.
Netted.
Get
you
away.
Get out of here." Third option, head coaches would each have designated argue boxes.
Okay.
A la penalty boxes. They can agree to get into them when they want and yell at the refs or each other. There's a thin plexiglass barrier in between the coach and the ref or the coach and the coach for a very up close and personal experience. Like the box is like very small. Mm-hmm. So you're in each other's faces. But I like this idea because you can really see how much spit is going off onto the plexiglass.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd like it more if they were talking with their fists.
You want the opposite of social distancing.
You know jousting? Like the long...
Yeah, I know what jousting is.
So I'm thinking... Each guy gets two of those with a boxing glove kind of at the end.
Oh, that's a fun time.
And you have like a far away poke battle.
That's a good call. All right, so I'm loving the net gun cam.
Got it.
Net gun cam is a fun time. I also love it as like, you guys weren't sitting next to each other. How'd you get so close? Boom, he's netted, you know?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, or just take him back to the seat.
Yeah.
You just take him back to
the
seat.
Maybe it has a... Maybe it's sponsored by Lysol wipes or something too, so it's a clean net. It cleans you.
Well, that's a good. I don't know about that. I'm marrying throwing stuff to people from food vendors.
I mean, that's fair. That should just
happen.
It's
a good time. Maybe you could have a splash zone where it's like, look, if you're sitting here, you might get splashed while people are throwing margaritas or pretzel dogs or whatever going on.
Yeah.
And I think I got to quarantine the argue box. Seems like it'd be another thing people got to clean. But I do like the idea of like Jim Boylan and Doc. Like when they were in that argument, how funny it would be if they were just in small and closed spaces.
I'm going to love the head coaches thing, but with the amendment that it's more like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots / jousting thing. It's a socially distant fight.
Yeah. They're playing tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. And maybe the winner gets an extra timeout.
Extra challenge, maybe?
Extra challenge and an extra timeout.
New jacket? Gets to change jackets? All right, what are you
marrying? I got to marry the net gun cam. That's
a fun time.
That's just a good time. That's just good old-fashioned fun.
Do you think
fun.
Net gun sales have gone up in the pandemic?
I can't imagine. It's not something you can really do in the house.
Maybe not over at Casa Updike. So you're quarantined and throwing food stuff?
Yeah, so here's my thing. I think that it's going to encourage throwing stuff back. Which is not sanitary.
No, that's not.
I think I think that, you know.
What are you throwing back?
You know, as Clippers fans, we get a little rowdy. We get a little wild out there.
Yeah.
And maybe the guy misses, and then you have to hand something to somebody else in a different seat, and then it's like, oh, then it's a whole mess.
Well, so it used
and then
to be
what,
that
are
way.
You friends now? Do you have to talk to that person?
No, because you're 10 feet apart. Okay, what about instead of throwing, they use just really, really long gopher grabbers.
Okay, I mean, that's great.
Just like section long.
That feels truly socially distant.
That's a good time. Yeah, anyone who has a truly long gopher grabber.
And what if the thrower begins to perspire? Then, you know, then you're dealing with bodily fluids, but, you know.
The hiring process for this is rigorous. We're looking at JUCO guys for this, JUCO quarterbacks. We're not looking at, just bummed off.
Not looking
the
at
street.
Any J scrub off the street.
No, not any scrub off the street. That about wraps it up for shavings. This is a Friday ass episode. This week, also, it's been a big week for everybody. It's been a lot just to deal with politics, the election. Hope everyone's staying safe. Hope everyone's taking care of their mentals.
Yes.
As Marshall and I said, also wear your mask. You know, still, especially in LA County, please rock that mask.
Yeah. I know we're getting tired, but we got to keep doing
gotta
this
keep
thing.
Got to keep doing it. Monday's episode, we'll be talking a draft prospect or two on the freshies, some rotation talk, and whatever else happens between now and then in Clipper land. Will, where can these fantastic people listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked on Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. You can, you know, get new episodes freaking 5 days a week.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Clippers news 5 days a week.
Think how great it will be when they're games.
If you like what we're doing over here, go ahead, leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. Just keep rocking with us.
Yes. Thank you all so much again for hanging out. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.